So here is a table which we can understand more clearly, which is going to give a difference between static and dynamic testing, and further it is going to review the complete summarization of static and dynamic testing. In a static testing, let us review testing done without executing the program, whereas in dynamic it is done by executing a program. This is without, this is with. In static, the verification process, it is a verification process, whereas in dynamic is a validation process. As in static, it is about prevention of defects, and in dynamic it is about finding and fixing the defects. In static, it gives assessment of code and documentation, whereas in dynamic it gives assessment of defects and quality of developed system. The static involves checklist usage, dynamic involves test cases for execution. Static can be performed before compilation, and dynamic testing can be performed after compilation. So one has to do before compilation static testing and after compilation dynamic testing. So static covers the structural and statement coverage testing, whereas the dynamic covers the executable items of the code. The cost of finding defects and fixing is less in static, whereas cost of finding and fixing defect is high in dynamic. More reviews and feedback ensure good qualities in static, whereas more defects and coverage ensures good quality in dynamic testing. So henceforth, a static testing followed by dynamic will definitely give a better quality software. Let us speak something more about software maintenance. Now, in software maintenance, it is a general process of changing a system after it has been delivered. The term is usually applied to custom software in which separate development groups are involved before and after the delivery. The changes made to the software may be simple changes to correct coding errors, more extensive changes to correct design errors, or significant enhances to correct specification errors or accommodate new requirements. So changes are implemented by modifying existing system components, and where necessary by adding the new components to the system. So there are different types of, or three different types of software maintenance. One is fault repairs, next is environmental adaptation, and third is functional addition. So what does a fault repairs happen? In fault repairs, coding errors are usually relatively cheap to correct. Design errors are more expensive, as they may involve rewriting several program components. Requirement errors are the most expensive to repair because of the extensive system redesign which may be necessary. Now, how does the environmental adaptation works in terms of software maintenance? Now, this type of maintenance is required when some aspect of system's requirement or end environment, such as hardware, the platform operating system or the support software, changes. Now, the applications must be modified to adapt it to cope with these environmental changes. Now, that is very important, because if the environment, the hardware, then the software system within that same hardware, if it is not matching to the software, it is very difficult to do the maintenance. If they are matching, it is very easy for doing the maintenance. The third type of maintenance comes, the functionality addition. Now, this type of maintenance is necessary when the system requirements change in response to the organization of business change. So how it happens, the scale of the changes required to the software is often much greater than the other type of maintenance. Now, in practice, there is not a clear-cut distinction between these type of maintenance. When you adapt the system to a new environment, you may add a functionality to take advantage of a new environment. So software faults are often exposed because users use the system in unanticipated ways. That's very important, because when you change environment and they want to use it in a different way, and that way the errors happen, the faults come out, and it needs a maintenance. And that maintenance is nothing but trying to comply and match to the needs. And once it matches to the needs, it is going to work properly. The third is, next, software maintenance, changing the system to accommodate their way of working is the best way to fix the fault. Now, these types of maintenance are generally recognized, but different people sometimes give them different names. Corrective maintenance is universally used to refer to maintenance for the fault repair. Now, It is recommended to include all design changes, development, rather than changing anything after software is put into the operation use. There are several reasons. Few are listed below. Team stability. Now, after the system has been delivered, it is normal for the development team to be broken up and for the people to work on new projects. So the new team or the individual responsible for the system maintenance do not understand the system or the background to system design decisions. They need to spend time understanding the existing system before implementing changes into it. Now, these are the real challenges. The stability does not. Now, the team stability may get disturbed because of the mix and match of the team. Some of the team members has gone to the different project and the other teams are there and they don't have the understanding. They focus on different things. So they need to re-understand in terms of considering the stability of the team and making sure that they are able to do the maintenance properly. Poor development practice. Now, this is another challenge in poor development practice. The contract to maintain a system is usually separate from the system development contract. The maintenance contract may be given to a different company rather than to the original system developer. So this factor, along with the lack of team stability, means that there is no incentive for the development team to write maintainable software. So if the development team can cut corners to save efforts during the development, it is worthwhile for them to do so, even if this means that the software is more difficult to change in the future. So many times what happens is that you have the source code, and when you give to the different company, these developers, they try to do something a direct on the fly practice in order to give the direct output. So they don't go to the integrity of the software, that if certain changes are done or some code has been added, is that code is impacting to the other routines. And if that is not taken care, it will be very difficult and hard in order to fix in the long term situations. So from short term to the long term, during the long term situation, you come across this situation that it becomes difficult. You end up in obsoleting the software completely and you have to go ahead with an installation of new software. So that's a cost. Now, very well, you are able to absorb the cost because of the high profit, well and good. But if you are not able to absorb the cost, you end up in shutdown in the business. So software maintenance is very critical. Again, it is recommended to include all design changes development rather than changing anything after software is put into operation use. So there are several reasons. Few are listed out below. Staff skills. Maintenance staff are often relatively inexperienced and unfamiliar with the application domain. This is a reality of the industry. Maintenance have a poor image among software engineers. Now, it is seen as a less skilled process than a system development and is often allocated to the junior staff. Furthermore, old system may be written in an obsolete programming languages. The maintenance staff may not have that experience of development in these languages and must learn these languages to maintain in the system. So these are the reality of the industry. So maintaining a staff skills and managing them plays an important role in terms of faster maintenance life cycle and giving them a satisfaction to the customer. Let us elaborate something more on a prediction of the maintenance. Now, in the prediction of the maintenance, how does the prediction happen? So there are three categories: predicting system images, predicting maintenance cost, and predicting the maintainability. Now, when you say in maintainability, what parts of the system will be most expensive to maintain? If it is a hardware, it is easy. If it is a software, then how do you predict what is the most expensive part? What are the parts which are in the system which will be most expensive? Obviously, the code which is longer, which is more difficult to maintain. Until unless you understand the language, you understand the code. So this is another important. Coming to the predicting system changes. What parts of the system are most likely to be affected by the change request? Now, when you do a change, there must be multiple routines within that particular software products. Now, when you do a change, does that change, you have sufficient documentation to apply that change to all the routines? Now, if a documentation is not been read properly, you may apply it to the last module or last changes and you may get an output. But with a certain specific simple environment, the predicting change may work, but whenever the dynamic requirement comes into the picture, this may fail. Another part is how many change requests can be expected. So this is it cost-based changes? Is it time-based changes? What are these? So this is another factor in predicting the maintenance. Now when it comes to cost, what will be the lifetime maintenance cost of this system? And apart from the lifetime maintenance cost, how much time it takes to fix the system? So what will be the cost of maintaining the system over the next year? So these are all the existing challenges. Now this basically, in this particular prediction analysis, the cost factor is simple that for an AMC reasons, the cost is varying between 10% to 18% or in some cases 25%. Now this is the percentage is based on the invoice value. Now whenever the business has comes into the profit, and they are able to spend this cost, they will spend it. But in some cases, the cost is very high and they are not able to maintain. So in that case, the software keeps on going in a deadlock. And deadlock means it keeps on operating, and the day comes, it goes to the retirement life cycle. So maintenance predictions, which we have discussed, managers hate surprises, especially if these result in an unexpectedly high cost, which we already discussed. You should be therefore try to predict what system changes might be proposed and what part of the system are likely to be the most difficult to maintain. You should also try to estimate the overall maintenance cost in a given time of period. Now you must have seen the predictions in the previous figure and associated questions. Predicting the number of change requests for a system requires an understanding of the relationship between the system and external environment. So when you know the relationship, you know how many changes you can done. One is a cost related change, another is a time related change, and a third is expertise. So some systems may have very complex relationship with their external environment, and changes to that environment inevitably result in changes in the system. Again, all these impacts depends upon environment to environment. To evaluate the relationship between a system and environment, you should assess the number and complexity of the system interface. The larger the number of interface and the more complex these interface, the more likely it is that interface changes will be required as a new requirements are proposed. The next is the number of inherently volatile system requirements. Requirements that reflect organizational policies and procedures are likely to be more volatile than requirements that are based on stable domain characteristics. So more dynamic can be difficult in relation to the stable domain characteristics. To evaluate further relationship, the business process in which system is used, as a business process evolve, they generate system change request. And the more business process that use a system, the more demands for a system change. So this all depends upon your, how is the business cycle going, what kind of environment, and how many people are getting changed. What is their innovation factor? How many are innovative? How many are creative? All these factors are taken into consideration before applying for a changes and making the system a little more robust. But rather than going into this particular cycle, if you focus on the execution of the system and trying to see is it how it is reliable, that reliability is going to calculate the business value. Let us review something of the software re-engineering. The process of system evolution involves understanding the program that has to be changed and then implementing these changes. However, many systems, especially older legacy systems, are difficult to understand and change because the legacy systems needs a heavier upgrade. Another challenge with the legacy system is that the platform, let us understand the Windows platform. So over the last decade, this Windows platform has been outdated multiple times, and that outdated in multiple times, there is no patches available, no changes. So whenever you adopt for kind of any kind of change, you may not be able to get the change effectively done and securely done just because it is not supporting. So you may end up in doing more of a longer time. I mean, it takes a longer time in terms of rewriting the code and adding to the systems. So that's why you need to be very careful in terms of applying such changes to the legacy systems. The next comes, the programs may have been optimized for the performance or space utilization at the expense of understandability or over time. Initial program structure may have been corrupted by the series of changes. This is another challenge. that program may get corrupted. So if it gets corrupted, so then it is very difficult to fix. You may have the original source code to rewrite a program, but then your cycle of dependency and redoability increases. So to make legacy software system easier to maintain, you can re-engineer these systems to improve their structure and understandability. Re-engineering may involve re-documenting the system, refactoring the system architecture, and translating programs to a modern programming language, and modifying and updating the structure and values of the system's data. This is again another cost issue, because if you want to re-document or redesign, and if your re-engineering skills are sufficient to prepare a new, complete new product, definitely the cost factor involves. Then the functionality of the software is not changed, and normally you should try to avoid making major changes to the system architecture. So there are two factors which benefits from the re-engineering rather than replacement. One, your complete framework is ready, your only the systems are moving from legacy to the updated new versions of the software platform. So you will definitely have a reduced risk because everything has been intact. You straightway go ahead, you know the process, so you straightway go ahead and start writing the code. So there is a high risk in redeveloping business critical software. Errors may be made in the system specification, or there may be development problems. Delays in introducing the new software may mean that business is lost and extra cost is incurred. So how do you reduce the cost? So there is another factor. The cost of re-engineering may be significantly less than the cost of developing a new software. So Ulrich in 1990 quotes an example of the commercial system for which the re-implementation cost was estimated $50 million. The system was successfully re-engineered for just $12 million. It is assumed that with modern software technology, the relative cost of re-implementation is probably less than this, but still will considerably exceed the cost of re-engineering. So here is what we would like to summarize. The business requirements are ever changing due to the change in either external surrounding or customer preference or an uncontrolled natural events. For the instance, pandemic is real such example. Now, because of such factors, software is expected to go frequent changes, and it is expected to be adaptable, flexible, and quick. Now, which is reality of the current pandemic situations. So what has happened? The moment the shutdown happened, industries moved from work from home. The systems getting ready to work from home within the same security zone with the different environments, it was really a challenge in terms of getting this executed. But this required again a different change cycle in order to get it workable. Now, apart from these factors, there is a technology and cyber risk change which brings pressure on the software engineers to refine their software as per the such technological enhancement. So having this demand on change, there are several laws one should keep in mind while such changes happens. Small or big, technological or business related, any change must undergo rigorous test before it gets delivered for use. So there are several myths and types of such testing. Mistakes are made delivering software before it is matured enough to use, and because of which it never enters into the software maintenance phase. So this phase is triggered once software is put to use or delivered to the customer. The phase does not bring the significant change in software and largely focuses on either functionality addition or adaptation and platform changes. So this is what we had spoken about, how a maintenance of the software can be done, what are the environmental changes. So by listening to all these actual facts and its prediction life cycle, the software evolution can really go ahead in guiding you and making sure that how you can maintain the software, as well as how you can replace the software, and in some condition you can also reuse the software. So these are all having the dependency on the environment, on the users, and also on the infrastructure. So depending on this, I know you will have sufficient knowledge. So thank you very much for this listening to this chapter. Let's look for more enhancement in the information in the next chapter. Thank you.